your grant.
Oh, yes.
Can we start now?
Yes.
I'll call the meeting to order, Thursday, November the 6th. And so Metropolitan Planning Organization, I'm looking for an approval of the minutes, please.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Laura, would you please give us an update on the project?
Yes, I think we're going to start off on page 3, which is a carryover of the Vandenberg County Green River Road widening project from Millersburg to Kansas. The project is 40% complete and paving work has begun. For the Maryland Street Bridge over Pigeon Creek, all bids came in over the engineer's estimate. Options for funding are being evaluated. For the Green River Road project from Kansas to Boonville New Harmony Road, a preliminary field check meeting was held yesterday. Moving on to Town of Newburgh and Newburgh Safe Routes to School project, construction is underway and the current contract completion date is set for December 1st of this year. On to page 4 for Newburgh's sign replacement project. A proposal has been made to incorporate data collected by TransMap for the pavement management project into a sign inventory for this project. On to page 5 for the City of Henderson, we have the Green River Road project from Osage Drive to Woods Point Drive. Construction is complete and the roadway is open to traffic. For their Sand Lane Safe Routes to School project, they are preparing bid package proposal and a project development checklist, which will be sent to KYTC for review and approval. For KYTC, on page 6, we have Kentucky 351 Zion Road, and according to KYTC, the letting date has been moved up from December to November of this year. And for the E.T. Brevet Parkway and Kentucky 416 project, construction is now complete and the roadway was open to traffic on October 28th. That's all I have for today. Are there any questions about those or additional questions? Comments?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next, we have a presentation by Thomas Witt of KYTC.
Okay, earlier this year, I had the good fortune to be able to attend a peer exchange on transit-oriented development, and they had asked me to give a presentation on this topic to the MPO. And before I start, I just wanted to say that some of the ideas behind transit-oriented development that I'm going to talk about are more applicable to major metropolitan areas like New York and San Francisco that have a very high population density and very well-established transit systems. But that being said, a lot of the principles behind TOD, I think, are related to the objectives in your millennial plan. And as part of this presentation, I'm going to discuss ways that TOD can be applied to smaller metropolitan areas. So first of all, how is transit-oriented development defined? I've paraphrased a definition from the Florida DOT, which defines it as moderate to high-density mixed-use areas within 1.5 miles, which corresponds to a 5 to 10 minute walk from a transit stop. And these developments are designed to maximize walking trips and access to transit. And the map on this slide shows a pretty simplistic diagram of what a transit-oriented development might look like, with the transit core at the center and very intense mixed-use development within about a quarter mile to a half mile of that transit center, and then less intense development as you get further away from the transit center. And let me also say that this is not really a new concept. In this slide, I've got a picture of what might be considered an early transit-oriented development in the Cincinnati area. And this neighborhood actually developed around a transit route, which is why we call it a transit-oriented development. And it meets many of the same definitions that I talked about earlier. You can see in the aerial photograph that there's a pretty dense area at the center of the development, and you can see in the picture that that consists of a mixture of uses such as stores, apartment buildings above the stores, and then single family houses as you get further from the center. TOD has advantages for several groups of people. First of all, for residents that live in these developments and for the developers that develop them. Reduced auto dependency can be very beneficial for residents. There's improved access and mobility, especially for those who don't drive. And then as far as the developers go, they get the advantage of more productive land use patterns, including more units per acre and reduced parking requirements. For transit agencies and transit riders, you get higher population and employment densities within easy walking distance of the transit stops, which can improve transit ridership and lead to higher fare box recovery rates. And finally, improved access and mobility for transit riders. And this slide shows a comparison between a conventional development and a transit-oriented development. In the conventional development on your left, you can see in the background there are people waiting at a bus stop. And from the aerial photograph of that conventional-style development, you can see that to get to that bus stop from the place where they work, they've got to cross a parking lot and a pretty busy highway. And pedestrian facilities are very limited, so it's somewhat of a deterrent to riding transit. Whereas with a transit-oriented development, the transit route is with just steps from the businesses where people might be going to catch the transit. And finally, transit-oriented development has some advantages for highway agencies and MPOs. And this illustration shows how in a conventional development, you might have a person that drops their kids off at school, then drives to their place of employment, then drives and does some shopping on their lunch break, drives back to their office, and then drives to pick the kids up. And when you have that kind of trip making, you get a lot of turning movements, just a lot of auto trips. And with a transit-oriented development, by contrast, you can actually take transit to the development and then walk pretty much anywhere that you need to go. So the advantage for highway agencies and MPOs is this can help them meet transportation performance targets and motor vehicle emissions budgets if they're in air quality non-attainment areas. This slide shows an example of a transit-oriented development in Walnut Creek, California, which is where we actually had the peer exchange. This is actually the area before the transit-oriented development went in. It used to be a park-and-ride lot, and it still has a park-and-ride lot, but a portion of that has been turned into a transit-oriented development. And this is the after picture, which shows what it looks like after they redeveloped the parking lot. And the new development includes a mixture of retail establishments, apartments, all within a very quick walk of the transit station. And you can see in the picture on the right, they've actually included amenities such as bike lockers for people that live a little bit further away that want to ride their bikes to the transit station. So what do you need to have transit-oriented development? Of course, you need to have transit. And you need a high level of transit to be able to attract riders from their cars to the transit service and realize all the benefits of transit-oriented development. So generally, this means a fixed guideway system or bus rapid transit in certain cases where the bus goes in its own right-of-way and doesn't have to compete with the automobile traffic. You also need compatible planning and zoning laws, such as form-based codes to allow a mixture of land uses and reasonable parking requirements. And finally, you need to have pedestrian-friendly design policies, recognizing that the auto trip generation could be significantly lower in a transit-oriented development than in a conventional development, so you may not have to design to accommodate as much traffic. So as far as opportunities for TOD in smaller cities, they're not quite the same as opportunities in areas that have very high population densities with well-developed transit systems and park and ride lots that can be converted to transit-oriented development. But that being said, I think that areas that are designed to be transit-friendly, even in smaller cities, can offer benefits even with limited transit service. So if you have a transit-oriented development and you take out the transit, what you get is a mixed-use park-once district, which basically means that it's a more compact style of development where you can park your car once and walk to pretty much anything within the development. And this has a similar benefits to transit-oriented development, such as more productive land use and better accessibility and mobility for non-drivers. And even if you don't have transit initially, if transit does become viable or needed in the future, it can be provided much more effectively in this type of development than it can be in conventional developments. And just as an example of that that's relatively local to Evansville, it's actually in Louisville, so not too far from here. This is a new development called Norton Commons. And you can see from the aerial photograph, it follows a lot of the same principles as a transit-oriented development with a very high-density type of development with a mixture of shopping, offices, and residential uses in a very compact area. And this slide shows pictures actually taken at the development where you can see what it looks like from the ground. And this has actually been a very successful development, even though it doesn't have transit yet. If the transit system in Louisville extended their transit line to this development, it would have many of the characteristics of a transit-oriented development. And it's been very successful from the developer's point of view, too. Been very successful at attracting people and businesses to the neighborhood. So that concludes my presentation. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to attempt to answer them.
Hey, Thomas.
Yes.
Can you go back to the slide in Louisville?
Sure.
Real quick.
That one?
No, one before. On the top north end, the oval.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a transit turnaround or something, or what is that, you know?
No, it's actually, that's a good question. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But it's definitely not transit because they don't actually provide transit to the neighborhood yet. The transit spot's actually maybe a mile south of this development. I'm not quite sure what that is. Good question, though.
Yes. I'm curious.
Yeah. All right,
thank you very much. Carrie is going to present the next item.
The Evansville MPO requests approval to amend the fiscal year 2015-2016 UPWP. It's to add $5,200 of HSIP funds to the project regional pavement management process. The consultant will provide sign and signal data extraction, GIS integration, and a nighttime assessment for the town of Newburgh. And this is 100% federal funds, so we do not need a local dollar amount for this. All the pages that are behind the memo, those are all the changes to the UPWP. It's all in red font. Does anyone have any questions?
I'm looking for a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Laura has some rezonings to show us.
Okay, the first rezoning I have is for 5200 Lynch Road. It's a 40-acre tract being rezoned from R1 to a C2 zone, located at the north, the east corner of Lynch and Green River in the city of Evansville. The proposed use listed on the application was apartments/use is allowed in C2, which is a commercial. And Lynch Road at that location is limited access minor arterial roadway. Green River Road is also classified as a minor arterial. And a traffic impact study is currently being reviewed there. Our recommendations to the Area Plan Commission are a north-south right-of-way slash ingress-egress easement should be dedicated for future connection as a frontage road indicated on the adopted Green River Road corridor plan. This needs to be designed to connect with any existing sections of the frontage road already in place to the north, and I do believe there's an apartment complex up there to the north that actually has a section at least set aside, if not built. All improvements required by the traffic impact study currently under review shall be installed by the owner slash developer as warranted by the study. Any questions about that one? Moving on to the second one, this is for 4504 and 4510 Heckle Road. This is about 35 acres and being rezoned from an R3 and C4 zone with a use and development commitment to an unrestricted C4 zone. This is located on the north side of Heckle Road, just west of Green River Road in Vandenberg County. The property is adjacent to the Gable Soccer Complex and the Convention and Visitor Bureau's ball fields, which are under construction. The proposed use listed on the application is only commercial. Improvements to Heckle Road are currently being designed, and that is locally done through the county. Our recommendation is a condition should be placed on the rezoning that requires a traffic impact study, and any improvements that result from that study should be made as a condition of approval. My last rezoning is for 5401 and 5403 East Lloyd Expressway and 34 Fielding Road. That's all of the same property, I believe. This is a 3.65 acre rezoning from an R1 to a C2 zone with a use and development commitment. It's located at the southeast corner of Lloyd Expressway and Fielding Road. The property is currently a church and the proposed use is a neighborhood grocery store. State Road 66 is limited to access principal arterial. There is one existing access on Lloyd Expressway. Fielding Road is a local road and also has one existing access. Our recommendations to the Area Plan Commission are the change of use of the property would require NDOT approval for continued use of the access to State Road 66 Lloyd Expressway. And those are all that I have.
Do we vote on these?
No.
Okay, good. So then this one's coming up on City Council.
Okay.
Is there any consideration given to the fact that that road's running right next to the school and how that impacts all of that?
You mean the last one?
This is, yeah, the last one. That's right next to Harrison.
Right.
Right? If I'm looking at it right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't know if there was any special consideration because it's close to the school with the traffic and kids in and out and driving. And
well, the access is there. If for some reason the access to State Road 66 was taken away.
That was what I was thinking, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, then the access would be needed there. So.
Well, the other issue with that is it's listed as a neighborhood grocery store, but it clearly has gas pumps
mm-hmm.
in the drawing. I mean, it's really just a trumped up gas station on the side of the road that's always, or at least to this point, has been all residential in that area. And I know that the city council member that represents that area is asking for the zoning not the zoning change not to be approved.
Okay.
He's reached out to the rest of us, and part of it just has to do with what he. It's also, I think, a Kentucky company that has its own construction company, and he just sees kind of a slippery slope of commercial encroaching into those neighborhoods, and like I said, it's really just a gas station.
Right.
Thank you very much. I'm looking for a motion to approve the bills. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Any public comments? If you haven't already noticed, I am not Jack Korn. And what I hope is not an emerging trend on this side of the room, Mr. Korn has also had a heart attack, and that is why he's not here. Carrie tells me that he is doing well and was almost able to be here today. The thought of me running the meeting apparently was a lot for him, so he did try to be here today, but was just not feeling quite up to coming back yet. So we hope that that does not continue.
Yes.
On this side of the room. Any further comments or questions? And we are adjourned. Thank you.